pretty central to the journey we're all on. And the topic really is spiritual failure. And what does that mean? How do we fail at this? How do we fail? Excuse me. How do we fail in life? It's a very big topic, lots of answers. I guess the big question is, what does spiritual success look like? And in a way, it's hard to measure, because it's possible that true spiritual success is, in a sense, invisible to people. I would venture to say, if you own your spiritual success, there's an element of failure in that. Walking around advertising your attainment begs the question of who is attained? Who is manifesting this, and for whom is it being demonstrated, and who acquires the diploma from having achieved spiritual success? And the deeper versions of spiritual journeying is that one arrives at a place where the question perhaps doesn't come up at all, where there's no one to ask it, where you simply are what you are and who you are in some profoundly deep and authentic way. The journey, the spiritual journey, is a journey to liberating yourself from egoistic personal self and aggrandizement, need, exploration, exploitation. Those of us who feel a need to be something in the world end up having, simply by wanting that, set up a condition of possible failure, simply by not getting it. What do you think you're supposed to get? What do you think you're supposed to attain? What do you think you're supposed to have as a result of any kind of life practice? Well, there are tangible elements. If you set out to have a certain kind of material goal and you get it, then you're a success. And if you fail to get it, you're a failure in a material way. If part of your goal is to get it, and to have it be there forever, the unfortunate nature of human experience is that it's all going to get taken away. Nothing is forever. If you don't get it, and you carry a sense of loss, that loss is, in a sense, more problematic than the actual experience of loss, because you're carrying this sense of failure, of not achieving, of not manifesting, of not getting what you wanted. But in the deepest sense of spiritual success, you begin to accept what is. You accept the reality of your life as it is at any given moment. You go, asso. That is as close as one truly gets to spiritual success. So if nothing you wanted in life comes to you and you go, ah, so, there's a remarkable reality that comes to you, which is that of deep acceptance and allowance and oneness with the what is. If you are in battle mode or in condemnation mode, or you are in a place of feeling like you have somehow not lived up to your expectation, and you are projecting that into the world and into your mind and into your daily life, of course, what happens at that point is you feel less than, you feel unworthy, you feel burdened by your failure, your sense of failure. And what really has happened is your mind has taken over. Your mind has given you a measurement in which you are not measuring up to whatever it is you think you're supposed to be doing, and you are not at peace with what is. In a sense, there's an element of failure in not being at peace with what is, if your journey, spiritually speaking, is to spiritual awakening. And spiritual awakening is not to walk around saying, hey, I got it, I figured it out, I've had a perfect life, everything worked out exactly as I had hoped and dreamed. It's to go, this is what is, exactly what is, as it is. Spiritual success is going, so. It's not the journey the mind projects. It's not the journey into attainment, into having more than, having less than. The journey is to having what arises every moment. And what arises every moment is real. Reality is here now as we sit here, as we look at the screen, as we talk, or you listen to this talk. That's real. It's as real as it gets. The next moment will be different. But this moment is connectivity to something that is speaking to you. This thing that is speaking to you is informed by decades, 50 years or more, of a practice. And that is a practice given to me by Rudy, which is a practice of surrender, letting go. Letting go for Rudy really also required a certain interesting dynamic, which was get something to let go of, get something to surrender, have a life, put your best foot forward, get out there, do the thing you need to do, you want to do, you try everything to get what you can, and you get what you get. If you don't get everything, yes, then you may feel like a failure. If you really do get something, you may feel like a success. But what happens really in the end is you have to let go of the not getting and you have to let go of the getting. Surrender, surrender. Surrendering something you got is actually easier than surrendering something you didn't get. Freeing yourself from failure is much harder than freeing yourself from success. The great value of success is you go, well, I had it, I did it, I did the work, and you feel some completion, and you just go, okay. On the other hand, I meet many people who had success, who are identified with it, who cannot walk away from it, who have to advertise it as their identity every time they walk into a room, every time they sit with themselves. This fullness of having had and done and gotten, this ownership. And that's, in a way, a profound failure when you start to realize that you are not, you're none of that. None of it. I have this image in my head of waves coming out of the ocean. And some waves crash out of the ocean. They go 40 feet high and they crash and they hit the rocks and they explode and they're dynamic and they're really beautiful. And then there are other waves that just kind of gently creep up onto the shore. There are waves that take down houses, and there are waves that do nothing more than fill a little hole that some kid dug on the beach and then recede back into the water. Is one wave more successful than another? Is one wave the big crashing wave, the successful wave that got somewhere and made itself known? And is the little wave that just goes up on the shore and comes back any less successful? Do you think the ocean cares? Do you think the ocean cares what kind of wave you make? The ocean is making waves all the time. We, in a way, are the oceanic waves. Some of us will, by the nature of the swells well beneath us, come into very big, prominent crashing. Some will have very small, very dynamic journeys into the world. We'll just touch the shore and recede. It's not up to us. And the real spiritual journey is saying, ah, I am not the wave. I am the ocean. I am the ocean. And the ocean does what it must do. And we are whatever it chooses to do. And if we are really smart about our spiritual lives, during the course of this, however many years we get quiet, we go deep inside, we look inwardly, not just outwardly at the shore, not just at the far distant possible creation of massive wave eruption, but you actually just get quiet and look deep inside. And what do you discover? It's pretty simple in that analogy. If you look inside, you discover you are the ocean. You are the totality. Your wave action is not all that important. I mean, it's part of the whole. It will change the landscape in small ways and big ways, but your ride is oceanic. And to judge yourself as a wave, to think of yourself as a separate, powerful, or less than powerful expression is absurd, because you are one with the totality of what is manifesting in the world. Whether you have a successful ride and have dynamic exposure, whether you have a very tiny ride, whether you think you're having the worst journey ever, the wave is having having the worst time, or you're having the best time, doesn't matter. What matters is see who and what you are. In a way, spiritual success is knowing that you are the oceanic force, and it is speaking within you, and it does speak, it does guide, it does uplift, it does pull down, it does manipulate, it moves you through time and space. If you pay attention to it and you surrender to it, you feel driven, exposed to, you feel the underlying intelligence of its manifestation, and you give yourself over to it. If you keep thinking of yourself as separate, tiny, somehow important, self-important, you're just going to be a wave that's going to do whatever the wave is going to do, and you will suffer if you're a small one, or you will suffer because you were too big and exploded or did damage, or you will, whatever your mind tells you to do with your wave-like action. But the reality is you're just a flow of manifested energy that flows out and recedes, probably forever. If you are in a state where people have been writing to me and telling me they are feeling like spiritual failures, that their life isn't really working, let me say something important. We are in a very difficult collective moment in the world. Maybe the world is always difficult in collective moments, but this is hitting us pretty universally. There's a lot going on, and we are getting to see a lot about what Buddha called human suffering. It is everywhere. It is all around us. People are suffering. When the collective experience starts to manifest in a big way, many of us fail to see it as a collective, and we take it personally. So we feel the suffering, we feel the drama, we feel the pain of human existence. And it's really hard when you do that. If you can take a breath and go deep inside, you can at least see you are not alone in this. This is a larger event taking place. There is a lot of cataclysmic movement happening right now. And if you can give yourself the center of stillness while this is going on, you will find yourself disidentifying from it all, not unaware of it, not uncompassionate or not empathetic, but you will find yourself still pointed in the midst of it. That will give you a sense of release and freedom from the communal suffering that's going on, and which happens at various times in storm moments when there are big storms going on, these kinds of events take place, and we are all part of that. The wave action right now is pretty massive, and people are hurting. When that happens, you have a choice. Go deep inside and calm yourself down. Be kind to yourself. Be good to yourself. And if you can find the kindness and goodness in yourself, try as an activity, as a means of action, to take that kindness and goodness and share it with other people. Maybe just one other person, maybe a group of people. Reach out with the kindness and goodness that comes from the still pointed depths within you that rise up as a natural part of this deep inner awareness, and share it with other people as best you can. That, not to be selfish about it, but it has a return. Your kindness to others will come back to you as kindness expressed and kindness in your own environment. You will have filled the environment with the very thing you most need, and that is very available to you if you do the work and go inside and discover source oceanic reality. Source oceanic reality, cosmic consciousness, whatever you want to call it, is, I mean, I hate to say massive because it's also non-existent on some level. It's minuscule, it's everything, it's nothing, it's all the dichotomies, but it has certain components. And those components that as they arise into human awareness and consciousness come across as goodness, kindness, love. It allows us to create beauty. It allows us to be good human beings. And that brings me to what I think is the most important element here. And that is, we are just human. We are all human. We're all in this together. It's hard for everybody. We're all fragile. It has its moments of also an acceptance where you're better at it at some moments than at others, but we are all going through this together. Every one of us ends up in the same place. There's a complete loss in the end of everything that you cared about, wanted, believed in, hoped for, dreamt of, all goes away. Existentially, we kind of know that. Spiritually, maybe we know that, but we are human and it causes all sorts of reactions. Some of them are painful. Some of them are ultimately, if you dig deep enough, vastly expansive awareness of the truth of all being, that it comes and goes, it rises, it falls, it breathes. And we are all that. We are one with that, and we are essentially that. But we're also, at this moment, in manifested bodily form, human. We are just human. So, forgive yourself for being human. If you fail spiritually, forgive yourself. If you get filled with your own self-aggrandizement and you start to feel like you're better than anybody else in the world, at some point that's going to be a weight that has to be dropped and you will suffer. You're only human. Forgive yourself. Surrender. Let go. The journey, all of our journeys are filled with various forms of manifested reality. Everyone has a different journey. Everyone has touches different things. We land at different places on the edges of the water of the ocean that we are. But we are all universal in that we are all the ocean. We're all on this ride together. We can hold hands. We can love each other. We can reach out to one another. We can be good to one another. We can be loving, empathetic, real people. If you happen to be one of these awakened souls who sees the whole picture, God bless, share that. How do you share it? Well, you can be the wise person, share it with wisdom, share the wisdom, not from a pontifical place, but from a human place. Be the wisdom, or just be the compassionate, loving self. Whatever you choose, however you choose to live it, your possible achievement in life is that you can become authentically good and kind as a human being. Maybe you call that spiritual, maybe you call that just being a good person, but getting to that is everything. No matter what life does to you, what it gives you takes away, and it will do both. It will give you and it will take away, and it will give you whatever it gives and it will take away everything, whatever that may be. Also, be with that as best you can. And if you fail at that, you're going to have a lot more chances to try. One of the great things about this particular space we inhabit is that it breathes. It arises and it falls away. It rises and it falls away. Today's failure is tomorrow's success. Just keep at it. Just keep doing the work. Every day is an opportunity. Do the work. Sit still. Go deep into the ocean of your being. Feel the massiveness of what you really are as opposed to the minuteness of your ego-minded self. Feel the fact that you are one with totality, that you are all that you are, and then find the humility that comes authentically at the core of that, because every wave action is just the ocean at work. You are not the wave. You are momentarily, but in truth, you've always been that which arises and that which falls away. It's a scary, uplifting, amazing, mysterious, awesome, horrifying journey. When you go into the dark corners of your fear, reach out to others and ask them to hold your hand, massage your back, love you. When other people are going through it and you feel that, reach out, massage their back, stroke their head, and be the giver as opposed to the receiver. But as a human being, we're both. You get and you give. And if you do that, and you follow the inner directive, you'll know when to do it. And everyone in the world will be grateful to your presence because you have served the oceanic force that gives meaning to and comfort to each wave as it crashes against the shore. That's what we're doing. So don't worry about failure. Don't worry about success. Live your life. Find the depth as much as you can. Come back to yourself. Use the fact of rebirth and restoration and daylight, sunlight, darkness, the return of endless newness. Allow that to allow you to keep going and find your path in a world that allows you endless opportunity to get it right. What you want to end up with in the end is also. Any questions? Okay.
Bruce?
Yes.
I guess something about your talk is reminding me about just this simple nature of gratitude and contentment when you are able to cultivate or experience that. And sometimes it seems like from Rudy's teachings, that he often talked about cultivating gratitude after a class, and like it's something that you can cultivate. But I've also found that sometimes it seems very challenging for people to have that idea that it's something that you can cultivate. But in our culture in particular, it seems like we're often, our self-worth or value is often in contrast or comparison to others. And so even like Elon Musk right now probably feels kind of like a failure because he's no longer the richest man in the world. Bezos overtook him again. Or, so there's always somebody you can reference that, or some context that you can reference where you're going to feel less than. Whereas some of these kind of hermit yogis I've had the fortune to meet had that sense of contentment, even though they've had nothing, And that's what Nityananda was like, so to speak, and as one Peruvian shaman, I once, was at a teaching when I was young, was talking about that the ultimate healing is just that feeling of gratitude. And every breath you take is like gratitude for the air element, or when you take a shower, it's the water element and the fire element. And so when you have gratitude, it's like you have a mother that showers more than you need. And if you don't feel it, then you're like an orphan with no parent, kind of thing. And so it seems like a profound aspect of the spiritual path, the sense of gratitude. But I'm just wondering if you can share, like, if in your experience, if it's something you think it's something that you can really cultivate, and if so, how? Like, what is the key to cultivating?
You know, it's a beautiful question, and really the answer is rather simple. The idea that you can do anything and that it's up to you, there's some element of truth to that. But the real truth is gratitude arises naturally from the depth of one's being. If you live in mind, if you live in external reality, where everything is, all information is coming to you from books and other people and doctors and whatever it is, all the things that are coming at you, if you live in that world, which is where most people live and not can't even get enough of, I mean, phones and computers and info, if you're living in that dynamic, you can cultivate gratitude. But if you do this simple work, which is sit still and go deep, gratitude rises by itself. It is a natural phenomenon. It is not cultivated. It is not worked at. The cultivation is the stillness. The cultivation is the going deep. But when you go there, it's what arises. It's what's there. It is the essence. Contentment comes in that space. You just have to stop what you're doing. Stop letting the world be the measure of it all. Go into this place and discover it's just waiting to arise. And arising is what it does. It has this upward movement, and it fills the space of you. And if you get out of the way and keep your mind quiet, you will walk around feeling endlessly grateful, just endlessly. And you won't, you know, there's nothing you can do with it other than be it, or, as I'm really learning more and more, express it every chance you get, even if it makes your partner crazy. You know, even if you have to tell them you love them so much, they just want to walk out of the room. But you have to be authentic with it. It really comes up, and it is a living, breathing thing. And it is the part of the spiritual journey that gets us there. It takes sitting in a cave for months by yourself in a world that's as distracting as ours. Sometimes it takes that to get there. On the other hand, Rudy, as a very interesting teacher, said, no, you can do it here. You can do it while you're in this very distracting world. And maybe it may even be a better practice. I don't want to judge really, but maybe only better because the guy who comes out of the cave has to go back into all of that stuff. And the person who does it in the world day by day is really working it, really finding the cave in the moment rather than actually exiling themselves into somewhere out of the picture of distraction so that they can really find it. The incredible thing about Rudy's practice, and I can only speak for myself, is that doing what he said day by day, sitting, going deep, entering these various centers of our inner approach to being, you know, our navel, our heart, our mind, as you go into these places, you go, oh. And that comes up and fills you. You may have to do it 100 times a day. You know, you may find yourself there and then the world comes back and slams you. And as I implied a little while ago, the world is really slamming us right now in many different ways. It's uplifting us, maybe. Some people are really finding this time we're in life-changing and valuable. Others are finding it punishing and painful. And many people can't handle their pain and are inflicting their pain on other people. And it's kind of ugly out there, but you do not have to get caught in that. You have to be aware of it and then go, so go deep and understand why it's important and meaningful to go into your core being and just sit there and find this thing that goes, wow, wow. And it can happen no matter what is going on, no matter what's happening. Everything in your life's falling apart. This deep central place is always wow. And when it comes up as a wow, your reaction to it will be profound gratitude. That's all I know. Love and gratitude and goodness and kindness. I'm using all the simple phrases, but it really, really comes down to that. So you're completely right about what you're saying. I'm just saying trying to cultivate that in the external mostly really means sit and meditate, go deep. That's how you cultivate it. Let the roots go down, water it every so often, and watch what comes up. It's pretty beautiful. Anybody else?
I have a question.
Okay.
In your talk, I was really identifying with when you were saying that it can be harder to let go of our failures, our perceived failures, than the successes. And I feel like I've been working really hard. The things that have been hardest for me in my life, or maybe most painful, have kind of become the things that I've wound up working on the most. And in a way, I worry that I've let the battles of yesterday become my guiding star. And yet it's what I have. It's kind of like the best answer, the work that's right in front of me kind of answer. So I was trying to reconcile. I think if I carry what you're saying through to fruition, it's along the lines of, well, yeah, work on it, but you get what you get and you just keep going. I'm kind of wanting more insight on navigating between like being obsessed with what I couldn't do last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And, you know, is that an appropriate thing for me to be focusing my growth, my mind growth energy on, or just accept it and try to find something else? Because I'm sort of terrified of shifting into something else, because it's like, I don't know it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Your mind, Dean, will not tell you. Your mind will not give you a deep enough answer, probably. It could if you spend a lot of time going into your meditative third eye. Mind starts to give perspective and clarity, so it could help guide you. If you go deep into your heart, it will help you feel your way through these issues rather than think through them. And if you get into your navel chakra, your gut chakra, you will have a kind of intuitive knowing of what to do. And it will tell you, yes, put your attention here, drop all the rest, forget that. You will know it as a certainty. And as you know it, you will find your path. And my experience, and I talk about it a lot, is the internal GPS. There is a GPS, if you get quiet enough, that just says this way, not that way, this way. It goes, yep, 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 nope, yep, okay, right, turn. And you just follow that. It is amazing, amazing how brilliant it is. And if you get no directive at all, my understanding, better, I don't know if it's true, but my understanding is no directive, doesn't matter which way you go. But if you go deep and you get directive, you best pay attention. Because if you don't pay attention, there's a lot of crashing noises and a lot of stuff gets damaged. And then you got to do what one does, which is pick up pieces, try to fix things, clear out the damaged space and start anew if you can. Renewal is a really important part of our being. It's the sex chakra really, but renewal, rebirth is when everything has gone wrong, start over. You can do it. And not only do you start over, but you have a kind of a vaguely clean slate if your mind doesn't try to pull in all the pieces that you've thrown out. Just get into a quiet place inside, find that energy, and renew your life. Renew, rebirth. You know, it's there. It really is there. And, you know, find a restorative space. It can be external, it can be internal, or both, where you can just go and be quiet and watch what it does. It will inform you what to do. And if you listen and you pay attention from any point in your life, no matter how much of a mess has been made, if you go back to that place, it will say, okay, now do this, do that, do this, do that. If your mind starts to come in and yell at that directive, the directive will get very quiet. It will disappear and you can make a whole other mess again based on whatever your inclinations are. It will come back at some point, but the real thing is somewhere along the line, you have to listen to yourself, to your deep self, and you have to let it guide you. If you don't, messes get made. If you do, clarity comes, authenticity comes, reality comes, aso comes, and you have a life of deep surrender and acceptance that is pretty awesome, really. It may not have this or have that or get you to this thing or get you to that thing. Doesn't matter. What matters at the end is the being that you are and become through this process. And what you become through the process is what you are. That's what you become. And I've known you a long time. So I've watched a lot of things falling away. And I have to say, I love you deeply. And I love you deeply because so much of the crap that has come up and fallen away is good riddance. And the reality of what stays behind, the essence of you, the imperfect human being that you are, is so beautiful and so wonderful. And if you finally learn to know that and accept that, that's a great a success as one can be in life. And I'll say this for everybody. I'm aware of many people having very dramatic times right now. And I just say, you know, the old idea of weather the storm is really, really important. Give yourself an opportunity to shutter in, stay quiet, be still. You cannot have a clear picture of things when the winds are howling around you. You just can't. So take your time. It will all work out.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hey, Bruce, I have a question. So, you were talking about the waves going in and out. You were talking about the waves going in and out and having many opportunities to do this again and again. What does learning have to do with this? Because it seems like an accumulation, but it also seems like something good in the sense of even learning how to connect. I don't know if you understand kind of that dynamic.
No, I do. I mean, it's on two levels. As we go through life and we make mistakes and we crash against the shore over and over, we do learn after a while that this is what it feels like. This is what it is. You learn how to do it. You get better at crashing, or you get better at manifesting things in the world, which is kind of what we're here for, to learn the ropes, to learn how to be in the world. But the real thing we're here for is to go to that guiding space inside that teaches us all of what life is trying to explain and deliver by the actual living it and experiencing it. So the knowledge, the wisdom, the insight, the power of learning and of growing comes from the deeper experience of that outer form. So the deeper you go, the more the outer thing will make you clearer in your truth and in your understanding, in your gift as a human being. So, you know, I know as a painter, you go through all of these different processes that you think, well, now I know I could do this and that, this makes it better. That actually works and changes the whole nature of the composition. Now I have a bigger vision. It all comes from practice and repetition. When you go really deep inside, what happens is you start to know all of that even before the experimentation. You just start to feel the guidance that says, aha, I will do this. And the real knowledge, the real clarity that comes is not just from the outside experimentation, but from the inner clarity, the hyper awareness that comes in the vision that goes deeper than you've ever been before. That wisdom, that insight, that power forms you as a deeper and better artist. And it will happen over and over. So part of it is your outside manifestation. Part of it is your inner dive into the depth of your soul. And that combination gives you clarity and it gives you creativity. And you'll see it manifest in front of you. You'll go, wow, where did that come from? But you'll know where it came from yourself. Does that help?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Are we at the end of this?
I have one quick question, Bruce, if that's all right.
Sure.
Can you hear me? So speaking to that, which sounds like going into meditation, like we have our practice, but then something happens and there's an immediate realization of, aha, I need to go into meditation now. Like pull from the thinking, mental distraught or whatever into that deeper place. So is there anything you can say about having that connect be a little quicker, a little stronger, a little more direct as a practice throughout the day?
Well, it's an evolving thing. For me, it's not even sitting down at this point. It's just being, and it just appears. It just keeps arising over and over. It's 50 years of sitting that allows this thing to just be present. Rudy would say, take a breath. Stop, take a breath. You don't have to sit. You don't have to get in front of a picture of Rudy and light a candle. You just have to take a breath, get quiet, get centered, and allow this deeper serenity, if you will, or comfort to arise and give you the clarity and the simplicity to make the next move or to make the next emotional choice that will get you through the rest of the hour or whatever it is that you're dealing with. But it's there for you. It will rise. It will come. It's not hidden. It's not trying to stay somewhere where you have to do all these tricks to get at it. You know, the biblical version is knock and the door shall open. It's kind of that simple, but very few people do it. Most people just keep going to the internet, you know, or whatever thing they can go to. That's the problem with 21st century life. We are so pulled outward. And at a point like that, you must go in to balance. You have to go in. And if you don't go in, you are victimized by outer forces in ways that are very painful and don't get easier from, you know, I'm older than you, so I can only tell you, it does not get easier. And if you can get the structure working now, that will help you a lot when the time comes, and God willing, it will come, where you'll be an old, wise person trying to deal with the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune that keep coming. They don't stop just because you're old and wise or old and stupid. They just come, and you just have to do whatever it is. You have to react to your surroundings, your environment, your reality. And I will tell you, when you get older, your environment closes in on you. I mean, it's a physiological disturbance. And it's yours, and you've got to learn how to deal with that. When you're younger, the world's your oyster, you know. But as you get older, you know, you're encased in your own mental sort of prison, and you've got to figure out, how do I live here? How do I make myself comfortable in this encroaching thing that ultimately is going to eat me alive and be done with me? that's tricky, and it takes more work than anybody really imagines. But that's what we're here for. And we're going to figure it out or not figure it out. And according to Buddhist beliefs, you know, you'll come back and figure it out next time. But the opportunity is here now. So take a breath and deal with the moment.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you, guys. Be well. Love to you all. And see you in 2 weeks if all goes well. And you'll hear from me soon.